We open the Bible this morning and turn to the last chapter of the book of Hebrews. That's chapter 13. Hebrews 13, let brotherly love continue. Be not forgetful to entertain strangers, for thereby some have entertained angels unawares. Remember them that are in bonds as bound with them, and them which suffer adversity as being yourselves also in the body. Marriage is honorable in all, and the bed undefiled. But whoremongers and adulterers God will judge. Let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as ye have. For he has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee, so that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do unto me. Remember them which have the rule over you, who have spoken unto you the word of God, whose faith follow, considering the end of their conversation. Jesus Christ the same, yesterday and today and forever. Be not carried about with diverse and strange doctrines, for it is a good thing that the heart be established with grace, not with meats, which have not profited them that have been occupied therein. We have an altar whereof they have no right to eat, which serve the tabernacle. For the bodies of those beasts whose blood is brought into the sanctuary by the high priest for sin are burned without the camp. Wherefore Jesus also, that he might sanctify the people with his own blood, suffered without the gate. Let us go forth therefore unto him without the camp, bearing his reproach. For here we have no continuing city, but we seek one to come. By him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually, that is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. But to do good and to communicate, forget not. For with such sacrifices, God is well pleased. Obey them that have the rule over you, and submit yourselves. For they watch for your souls as they that must give account, that they may do it with joy and not with grief, for that is unprofitable for you. Pray for us, for we trust we have a good conscience, in all things willing to live honestly. But I beseech you the rather to do this, that I may be restored to you the sooner. Now, the God of peace, that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you perfect in every good work to do his will, working in you that which is well-pleasing in his sight. Through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. And I beseech you, brethren, suffer the word of exhortation. For I have written a letter unto you in few words. Know ye that our brother Timothy is set at liberty, with whom if he come shortly, I will see you. Salute all them that have the rule over you, and all saints. They of Italy salute you. Grace be with you all. Amen. The text for the sermon this morning is verse 8. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday and today and forever. Jesus Christ, the same. Beloved congregation of our Lord Jesus Christ, what a beautiful confession we make this morning. Jesus Christ the same in a world and in our own life and in our homes and in all of our experiences when many, many things are not the same. In fact, even as we count time this morning, we enter into a new year and must learn to write 2023. So much is not the same, but how comforting it is to confess this morning that Jesus Christ is the same. These words that we consider this morning were first written to the Hebrew Christians. They were Jews. They were Jews ethnically, and they had been Jews religiously. But the gospel of Jesus Christ came, and God, according to his eternal counsel, brought unto salvation in Jesus many of these Jews, so that now they became professing Christians who loved and confessed the name of Jesus. And now this epistle, called Hebrews, is written to them. And the book of Hebrews teaches the preeminence of our Lord Jesus Christ. He is better than everything, especially better than all the pictures and the types and the ceremonies of the old dispensation. He's better, but he's also better than anything you can find in the universe, including if you would even go up into the highest heavens. He has preeminence over the very angels of God, as he has by an inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they. He's the better mediator of the better everlasting covenant of grace. The book of Hebrews teaches the preeminence of our Lord Jesus Christ. And now the main word of the book is its word of exhortation. Do not go back. Do not cave. Do not apostatize. For these Hebrew Christians were surrounded by unbelieving Jews. Some of them were their own family members. Unbelieving Jews who hated the Lord Jesus Christ. And they relentlessly would pressure these new converts and even persecute them and try to draw them back into the old Judaism from which they had come. Come back with us to all these ceremonies and to worship in the temple and all these rituals of old. And the word of exhortation is, do not go back. Do not turn around. Jesus Christ is exalted over all. Now cling to him with a true and living faith and go on in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now we come to the end of the book in Hebrews chapter 13, and here the inspired writer teaches us in the text we consider this morning that this great Jesus Christ, who is superior to all, is the same. He's the same yesterday and today and forever. He does not change. And that's so comforting. And that was such a significant word to these Hebrew Christians. You have to try to put yourself in their shoes and think about their experiences. They were living in arguably the most peculiar time of history, because they were living during that period of transition. They were coming out of the Judaism of the old dispensation, and now Christianity having been inaugurated, they were moving into the new dispensation, almost as if they had one foot in the Old Testament and one foot in the New Testament. And as they make this change, they are surrounded by all kinds of staggering changes that really, it's very, very difficult, perhaps even impossible for us to try to appreciate the changes that they were experiencing in their life. You mean now we have a religious life unto God? With no temple. After all these years, thousands of years, now no temple. We no longer go to the temple. And we no longer have to offer animal sacrifices on the altar. And we no longer need this priesthood. And all these staggering changes. And what does this mean? Does this mean that the very essence of the covenant has changed? Does this mean that the very way of salvation has changed? Has God Himself changed? And in the midst of all these changes comes the word of the inspired letter. And now here, Hebrews 13, verse 8, Jesus Christ, He's the same yesterday and today and forever. And that's God's word to us too in all of the changes that we experience. And now as we transition out of the year of our Lord 2022 and into 2023, Jesus Christ, the same yesterday and today and forever. Let's consider that word of God this morning, taking as our theme our changeless Jesus Christ. Notice, first of all, the proper understanding. Second, the comforting knowledge. And third, the believing expression. Jesus Christ the same. Our changeless Jesus Christ. One word. The doctrine of the text is, according to our learning of the essentials of Reformed doctrine in catechism class, the doctrine of the text is in one word, immutability. Remember that one? Immutability, that attribute of God according to which He in the fullness of His being and in all the decrees of His counsel does not and cannot change. Our immutable God. And now this passage teaches us this morning that the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, is immutable. He's the same. He does not change. So that if we look at who Jesus Christ was yesterday, December 31, 2022, and if we look at who Jesus Christ was yesterday in a figurative sense of the word, yesterday when this epistle was written to the Hebrew Christians, or yesterday when Jesus was walking on the face of the earth, or the figurative yesterday of the old dispensation. And if we would look at who Jesus Christ is today, January 1, 2023, and if we look at who Jesus Christ is tomorrow, January 2, and through the rest of the week, and into the everlasting forever, we say, Jesus Christ the same, yesterday, and today, and forever. Our changeless Jesus Christ. Now, regarding a proper understanding of this main teaching of the text, two points are immediately obvious to all of us. Number one, Jesus Christ, with respect to His divine nature, obviously does not change. As God the Father and God the Spirit, so God the Son is the changeless, immutable God. With respect to His divinity, He does not change. And even when the eternal Son assumed unto Himself a human nature, like our nature, in all points, sin excepted, even when He took upon Himself human flesh, the Son of God did not change. His divinity did not change. He remains the eternally changeless Son of God. Divinity cannot change. So that's obvious. He doesn't change as to His divine nature. In the second place, this is also obvious to us. Jesus Christ, with respect to His human nature. Now I'm going to pause a moment before I complete that sentence and underscore the fact that we're dealing with one of the deeps of sacred Scripture this morning. The deep mystery that we have a Savior who is the Son of God, and in that one person of the Son of God are perfectly united both a divine nature and a human nature so that there's no one like Jesus. With respect to his divine nature, he does not change. With respect to his human nature, obviously, he changes. He changed in his physical appearance. There was a time right after his birth when he was just a little baby. And Mary took him and she wrapped him up in those swaddling clothes and she held her little baby, Jesus. Fast forward some 30 years and that one who was a little baby Jesus is now dead and he has a full-sized adult corpse that is hanging from the cross. And Joseph of Arimathea and Nicodemus, with the permission of Pontius Pilate, they go and they take down that dead body from the cross and they carry it all the way over to the sepulcher and then they wrap it in the grave clothes. Now you want to talk about some significant change from a little baby wrapped up to a, well, he's dead now and his body wrapped up. What change is there that could be greater than seeing a little baby wrapped in a blanket and a dead man in a casket? That's quite a difference. Now this is Jesus. Obviously, he changed. Or if you take the actual condition of his life, when he was in the state of humiliation on this earth, he was being oppressed and persecuted. People mocked him and ridiculed him. They spit on him. They buffeted him. They took those spikes and they pounded them through his palms into the tree of the cross. And there he died on that cross. His condition was one of inexpressible agony, ultimately under the wrath of God. But now look at him. He's at God's right hand, crowned with glory and honor and majesty and power as the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. What a change from the state of humiliation to the state of exaltation. Or consider the changeableness of Christ in his humanity according to Luke, as he states it in Luke 2, verse 40. And the child grew. There's change. He grew. He's not the same. And the child grew, waxed strong in spirit, filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him. Or a little bit later, verse 52, and Jesus increased in wisdom. He's not the same when it comes to wisdom. He increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man. Now what? How properly do we understand the text when very obviously he does not change with regard to his divine nature, when obviously he does change with regard to his human nature, and therefore we cannot take the text in the absolute sense of the word, Jesus Christ, the same? How properly do we understand the text? And the key to answering that question is found in the first two words of the text. His names, Jesus, Christ. There it is. He does not change in who he is to us and what he does for us as Jesus. And he does not change in who he is to us and what he does for us as Christ. Who is he and what does he do for us as Jesus? Well, when Joseph was contemplating what to do because the woman to whom he was betrothed was pregnant and not by him, then the angel Gabriel came unto Joseph and said, fear not. Essentially, he said, she has a child who has been conceived in her womb by the Holy Ghost. And now Matthew 1, verse 21, she shall bring forth a child, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Jesus. His work is to save us from our sins. His work is not first of all to save us from cancer and from a coronavirus and from all kinds of earthly suffering and oppression, though in the end, of course, he will save us even from all of these earthly distresses, but his essential work is to save us from our sin. And that's the most important thing, that he save us from the guilt of our sin before God, that he free us from our condemnation in Adam, that he deliver us from the corruption and the power of our sin and the pollution of our sin. If we do not have deliverance from our sins, then our life could not possibly be more miserable. If we are still guilty in our sin, guilty before God, then we are liable to punishment and God must punish us. And all that God does in his sovereignty in our life, bringing diseases and trouble and all kinds of adversity, that's all against us. And God is to punish us. There's nothing worse than being a guilty sinner. We must be saved from our sin. And Jesus saves us from our sin and unto everlasting righteousness. And in that, he never changes. If you go back to the yesterday of the old dispensation when there were all the pictures of Jesus Christ, if you go to Jesus during his ministry, even when he was healing physical diseases, if you see him hanging on that cross, if you behold him by faith at God's right hand, no matter when you look at Jesus, he is always working to save us from our sins. That never changes. He shall save us. He never has co-laborers. Yesterday, Moses could not save you, and neither could that lamb that was brought to the tabernacle. Today, your good works cannot save you, and neither can prayers to the saints. Tomorrow, the Antichrist will not save you, and neither will any political strongman. He shall save. He saves his people. He never intends to save anyone who is outside of the company of the predestinated. He saves according to the decree of election. He saves his elect people. And his name being Jesus means that he shall save. He absolutely shall save. He will not simply try to save or attempt to save, but he really, effectually, actually, irresistibly, graciously shall save all of his elect people from their sins. That's who he is, Jesus. And as Jesus, he never changes in who he is and what he does for us. And his name is also, or more properly, his title is Christ. You know that from Lord's Day 12. The Christ, that is the anointed one, the anointed office bearer, the prophet, priest, and king of God to us. And as the Christ, he never changes. As Christ, he's the prophet. And what's the work of a prophet? It's to teach the people about their God by speaking to them the word of God. That's always what a prophet does. Yesterday in the old dispensation, when God spoke through the typological prophets who were pictures of Jesus, like Elijah and Isaiah, or yesterday when Christ, the chief prophet, was on earth and he was teaching from the mountainside, or today as he is at God's right hand and he teaches through ordained mouthpieces that he appoints here on this earth, and one day in the everlasting glory of heaven, as he continues to teach us forever and ever into heaven, he always, this never changes, as our prophet, he always teaches us by showing us our God, our great God of covenant love and mercy, as he shows us God in the Word of God, and that never changes. He's the prophet. He's always revealing to us our God. As priest, the work of the priest is to take the people and to bring them near unto God for fellowship with God and for the blessings of God. And yesterday, if you look at Jesus as he was pictured through all those typological priests, like Aaron and his sons, who would go behind the veil into the most holy place and sprinkle the blood on the mercy seat and come out and bless the people. If you look at Jesus as he was offering his own body as a sacrifice on the cross, if you look at the Christ now at God's right hand, as he applies all the benefits of his cross as a priest and really into all eternity as he leads us to the pleasures that are forevermore at God's right hand as priest, his work is always on the basis of his blood and in the full assurance of faith to bring us unto God, that we may be with God and enjoy God forever and have the blessing of God. And that doesn't change. Jesus as our priest, and as Christ he is in the third place, our king. And it's always the work of the king to rule over the people and to protect them. And so, as king, he rules, he governs. He always governs his people. And now, by his Spirit, he comes right within us and sets up his throne in our hearts and governs us in such a way that we manfully fight against sin and Satan and his whole dominion. And one day we will rule with Christ in the new creation. We govern with him. He always governs and he protects. Yesterday he would protect us from Amalekites and Philistines. And yesterday, today, and to the very end, he protects us from heresies and false doctrine and false teachers and all the immorality of the world and sin and Satan. That's what he does as king, and that's never changed. Jesus, he shall save his people from their sins. Christ, God's anointed prophet, priest, and king. Jesus Christ is the same in who he is to us and what he does for us as Jesus and as Christ. And therefore, the gospel never changes. Because he's the same, the gospel is the same. Because he is the content of the gospel. The gospel is from age to age the same. Now, of course, there are changes. We in the new dispensation have more revealed to us of the gospel than the saints of the old dispensation. Just think of the New Testament. They weren't reading the New Testament as we are. And they didn't have the Spirit of Pentecost poured out as we do. We have more revealed to us. Of course, there are changes. There are new insights into the gospel. There are new applications of the gospel. As God sovereignly leads his church through time, he brings into the sphere of the church false doctrines and heresies to take his church and lead her deeper and deeper into the gospel of the sacred scriptures. So we see more of the gospel, but the gospel itself, it never changes. That gospel first revealed to Adam and Eve in paradise after their fall, that gospel that Jesus would preach in the temple when he was alive on this earth, that gospel that Jesus, through his mouthpiece, Reverend Spronk, preaches out of this pulpit, the gospel, it doesn't change. Because the content of the gospel is Jesus Christ, and he's the same yesterday and today and forever. And therefore, the content of our faith, it never changes. The rock upon which we stand, it never changes. The God of the covenant, our God, he never changes. For Jesus, the revelation of God, is from age to age the same. Jesus Christ, the same. Now, to know this truth is very comforting for us always and this morning as we begin a new year. Comforting knowledge. Because while Jesus is the same, everything else is in flux. And everything is always moving and changing. And so the believing child of God says five things and finds, as he says those five things, comfort in the changelessness of Jesus. Number one. And does not this just come spontaneously out of the believer when he hears Hebrews 13, verse 8? Number one, I change. The believer says, my love for God, it changes. Yesterday I loved God, and my love for God was so, so strong. And I was willing to give up everything and sacrifice everything my life included for God. And today, my love for God is like a fire that's dying in the embers. As my life and my career and my possessions and my entertainment and my sports and my investments and all the pleasures of my life, I hate to say it, says the believer, it fills me with shame. But I and my life mean more to me right now than God Himself. My love for God, it goes up and down. The believer says, my faith. Yesterday, my faith was at high tide. I stood on the top of the mountaintop of faith. And though all kinds of trouble surrounded me, it was all below me. The joy of the Lord was my strength. And now, today, oh, my faith is so weak. And I have all these anxious thoughts when I look into the future and all the potential for change. And lately, I've had way too many sleepless nights. My faith goes up and down in strength. Spiritually, in my soul, I change. And in my body, I change. Yesterday, I went to the doctor. He showed me the scan on the screen. He said, look, not a speck to be found. It's all clear. You're healthy. And I said, hallelujah. That was yesterday. And today I go to the doctor and he says, look, your cancer, it's back. And I say, oh Lord, no. I'm not the same. Spiritually in my soul and physically in my body, I'm not the same. But my comfort, says the believer, is that Jesus Christ is the same. And because He's the revelation of my God in the covenant, He never changes. He loved me yesterday. No matter where my soul is, He still loves me today and tomorrow. Tomorrow He will not hate me. And tomorrow, even if He must lay His heavy hand upon me to chasten me, He still loves me. And into the everlasting future, He loves me. God revealed in Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. Secondly, the believer says, circumstances all around me change. It could easily happen that the believer says, yesterday the economy was so strong, consumer confidence was high, the fear index was low, unemployment was low, I had a stable job, good benefits. That was yesterday. And today, everything is in a downward spiral, and I don't know if I'll make it to the end of the week without my boss calling me aside and telling me, I'm sorry. I don't want to do it, but I have to lay you off. And I have 7 children at home, and now no work. And how quickly that all changed. Or the believer says, yesterday there was a political party that was conservative and favorable to Christianity, and that party was occupying most of the positions of leadership in the land, and almost in the blink of an eye, Now a political party that's openly hostile to Christianity occupies most positions of leadership in the land. Oh, the change. Or the believer says, yesterday, my teacher stood in the front of the classroom and he held this little white stick, made his fingers really dusty, and he would write on a board that was black. That was yesterday. Today I sit in the corner of my living room and I open up my laptop. My teacher is on another continent and he teaches me through this screen. Everything is changing, sometimes for good, sometimes beneficial, often for worse. Circumstances all around are changing. The child of God says, as we live here on the boat in the midst of this storm of change and restlessness, the Jesus Christ who was on the boat with his disciples in the great storm yesterday and who rebuked that storm saying, peace, be still, is the exact same Jesus Christ of compassion and power to me today as he was to the disciples yesterday. And he says, peace, be still. And I have peace when everything's changing all around me. He is the same. Third, the believer says, life in the instituted church may change. Now, here we look at the immediate context, preceding and following the text. First of all, verse 7. Office bearers may change. Verse 7 says, remember them which have the rule over you, who have spoken unto you the word of God, whose faith follow, considering the end of their conversation. Office bearers who rule and teach, remember them. And now the very next verse says, Jesus Christ the same. And there could be a number of implications there. At least one of them is, remember them, these office bearers, but understand, they might change. Verse 8, Jesus Christ the same. Office bearers might change in this way, that they're here today, and then tomorrow, they're gone. So that yesterday David was our king, and today Solomon is our king, and tomorrow Rehoboam is our king. And yesterday Aaron was our priest, and today Eleazar is our priest, and tomorrow Eli is our priest. Here today, gone tomorrow. The office bearer, today, perhaps because he has a term limit, or he must resign, or he's disabled by illness, or he's released for weighty reasons, or he is deposed for his sin, or he faithlessly deserts his office, or he is slain by the sword, or imprisoned in time of persecution, or he's a minister who takes a call to another congregation, or he becomes emeritus. Here today, gone tomorrow, and some of these changes can shake a congregation to its core. Christ, the anointed office bearer of God who truly loves the church, who is the only one who can save the church, including office bearers, he is the same. Yesterday, today, and forever. He'll never leave you. He'll never be deposed from his office. He'll never forsake his office. He's the same. Doctrine may change. Verse 9, be not carried about with diverse and strange doctrines. And an implication in the connection is, though doctrine may change, Jesus Christ never changes. Now, of course, the doctrine of the Scripture never changes. The doctrine which reveals Jesus, it never changes. But a church's confession of that doctrine, a church's teaching of that doctrine may change, and become, according to verse 9, strange as a foreign imposition upon the Scriptures. Jesus doesn't change. And therefore, Jesus will always preserve true doctrine. The gates of hell will never prevail against His church. And though the confession of doctrine may change here or there, somewhere in an instituted church in the world, the changeless Jesus Christ will maintain the true doctrine somewhere because He preserves His church to the end in the faith. He does not change. And neither does His truth. Fourth, the believer says, the wicked world changes. Now, when we speak of the world, we are referring to ungodly men and women who live out of the inner principle of corruption as a race that is alienated from God, that is hostile to Jesus Christ, and that opposes His people and His gospel. The world. The world is getting darker and darker, worse and worse, so that yesterday almost everyone would confess that a man is a biological male and a woman is a biological female. That was yesterday. Today, you are what you think, you are what you feel, and you are what you want to be, so that maybe you are a man trapped in a woman's body. And that's the teaching of the world. In fact, our young people, even already in high school age, may go off and get a little job to earn a wage, work a few hours, let's say at a coffee shop, and our covenant youth are facing and encountering things today that, for the most part, we a generation ago didn't face. They go into the coffee shop to work, and there's a man there as a co-worker. A young man who says, I am a woman, my name is Susie, and you use the pronoun she and her when you talk about me. What incredible change is taking place as the world gets worse and worse. And yesterday and today, we may be able to speak against that, not only as an absurdity, but as contrary to the plain word of God, and call sinners to repentance and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And we can do that for the most part without any repercussions. But when you do that tomorrow, that might land you in prison. The world gets worse and worse. And as it does, Hebrews 13 verse 8 says, Jesus Christ the same. He's the same prophet. He will keep teaching us and our children about our God out of the unchanging Scriptures. He's the same priest. He will keep taking us and our children and bringing us under the shadow of the wings of the Almighty. And He's the same King who will continue to protect us and our children even at the very end, when the most hideous works of darkness are uncovered right before the eyes of our little children. King Jesus will, as He always has, protect us and keep our souls from being influenced and lead us in the way everlasting. He is the same. Finally, the believer says, people change. And now we come to what is arguably most difficult, and that was the case for the Hebrew Christians. People apostatize. The whole epistle warns against it, but it happens. And it did happen. There were Jewish Christians professing the name of Jesus, and the pressure of the unbelieving Jews, some of whom may have been their own family members, was relentless and so much that they turned their back on Jesus and they went back into the Judaism of old. Not because Jesus changed. He doesn't change. Not because they had faith and they lost it, but because they never had genuine faith. They only gave an appearance of having faith. They apostatized. And that was so difficult for the professing Christians to see one from their own Christian community deny the name of Jesus and go back to Judaism. People change. And we can have the same experience in apostasy today that our own son brought up in the faith, who confessed the name of the Lord Jesus in the church. He abandons Christ and the gospel in the church to walk in a life of open immorality. Or even worse, he doesn't go away, but he comes back to curse us and damn us and speak all manner of evil against us, even his own father and his own mother, for their commitment to Christ. And you want to talk about change that is so, so painful. It's when people change in apostasy. But more broadly, we all change. We're always fickle. We're so fickle. We have such conviction for this and for that. And tomorrow it changes. It changes with the wind. We change at our most committed relationships. The best and most godly marriage between a husband and a wife, there's change. So that the husband, he does not love his wife with a perfect love as he ought to, neither does the wife love her husband. Our love for one another, it changes. We change. People are always changing. But the comfort of the text is that we have an elder brother, we have a husband, we have an office bearer, the Christ, a Savior, Jesus, who is the same. And you can take your body and soul and safely commit it to Jesus Christ in true faith, and you will never be brought to shame. If you build your life on any rock, being a person who is anyone other than Jesus, you will be brought to shame. But no one who is built upon the rock, Jesus Christ, will be brought to shame, because he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He will never betray you. He will never betray you. He's the same. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday and today, and isn't this the real clincher for faith, and forever. Yesterday, good. Today, good. But what about tomorrow? And down the road, then will he? Don't even think it. Never. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Believe this and say this. In conclusion this morning, this is our believing expression. Now, did you notice that there's a very important grammatical element that is missing from the text? Well, no, it's not missing. It looks to us as if something is missing. That without which you really can't have a complete sentence. It's the verb. The text does not have a verb. It does not even have that shortest and simplest of all verbs, the linking verb, is. Not only that, the text does not have any grammatical connecting word. There's no therefore, because, moreover, since. Hebrews 13 begins with the exhortation, let brotherly love continue. And then we have one exhortation after another following that. This is brotherly love, and this is brotherly love. Exhortation, exhortation, exhortation. And then all of a sudden, an incomplete sentence with no connecting word to the context. Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. And then another exhortation. So what is this? Well, the text takes the form of an emphatic exclamation. And therefore, it doesn't need to be a complete sentence. And it doesn't need to have a connecting word. It's an exclamation. Jesus Christ the same. That's the believer's exclamation. And it fits anywhere. At any point, it's appropriate to speak. You can say it. And it always fits. Jesus Christ the same. Now, of course, by the inspiration of the Spirit, it fits perfectly here at the very end of the book, a kind of climactic word in Hebrews 13, and it fits in its immediate context. That's true. But really, you could take the text and you could put it anywhere in the book and it would fit. The believer's exclamation. And you can do that in your life too. It fits anywhere. When you're driving through the cemetery, getting ready to pull alongside of the gravesite, you can exclaim it right there. Jesus Christ the same. And when everybody's gathered in a back room of church to have a lunch after a baptism, the firstborn child of him and her, and all this excitement, say it there. Jesus Christ the same. In the greatest sorrows, in the greatest joys, in any circumstance, it fits. Jesus Christ the same. That's our emphatic believing exhortation, exclamation. Unbelief dismisses it and scoffs at it. Unbelief will even lament, I can believe that what the text says is true for other people, but I'm not convinced that it's true for me personally. Take heed, brethren. Take heed. Lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God, but exhort one another daily while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. For we are made partakers of Christ if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast unto the end. Hebrews 3, verses 12 through 14. Believe and exclaim. And so good is the God of our salvation that He gives us the faith this morning to believe it. And now go forth in 2023, no matter what changes all around you, even in you, no matter what changes, Jesus Christ will never leave you. He will never forsake you. The one to whom you are united forever in your body and in your soul, He is the same yesterday and today and forever. And hallelujah. Amen. Let us pray. Father in heaven, we thank Thee for Thy changeless word, the word of the gospel, the same word we have heard our whole life long in the Church of Jesus Christ. Do not let us lose it, but give to us that word of the Lord Jesus Christ tomorrow, into this new year, and forever. And give us confidence in the one in whom we may be confident, our Lord Jesus. In His name we pray. Amen. Let's respond with 314. And now let's think broadly of the universal Church of Jesus Christ and the great scope of God's saving work in Christ. Worldwide Worship 314. Stanza 2, for loving kindness ever great toward us and all who on Him wait, for truth to endless years the same. Praise ye, Jesus.